Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is great to be here. Hour two, we're live in L.A. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio. We're on FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. Jordan Palmer. That's where all these college quarterbacks go when they get out of college before they go to the NFL. The Jordan Palmer camp, brother of Carson Palmer. Justin Fields at Ohio State. I'm not really sure. I said this yesterday. I'm not sure why I'd play at Ohio State. It's nothing against Ohio State, but A, I can get hurt. B, it's going to be crappy weather. And C, what if a bunch of Buckeyes peel off and go to the NFL and I have less of a team around me? So we'll talk with Jordan Palmer about that. By the way, the boycott crowd, it's not working. Sorry, numbers are good. The baseball ratings, by the way, are through the roof. Baseball numbers are way up. So the boycott crowd, they were going to boycott NASCAR, and the baseball players kneeled, and they were going to boycott that. And it's like, folks, you picked a bad year to boycott. There's you know, a lot of us are stuck at home. You can gamble on sports now in America. So people are watching more sports because you can gamble on them. And frankly, let's be honest, we've had a scarcity of sports for 6 months. People want to watch sports. NFL, you're going to have some players kneel. They're going to get huge numbers. Also, something happening. It's called OOH ratings, out-of-home ratings. For the first time in the history of my business, this business, you can count people who are watching games in bars or restaurants. You've never been able to count that. So baseball's ratings are going through the roof because young people do watch baseball. They just don't watch it by themselves at home. They watch it in bars with their buddies. You go to a bar in L.A., you watch the Dodger game with a buddy. You're not going to watch it at home often by yourself. So baseball ratings, and they kneeled for the anthem, are through the roof. The other thing is America always eventually gets it right on stuff. Gay marriage, opposed 12 years ago. Now it's like 80-20 in favor. Legalization of pot. Oh, evil, you're going to go blind. And then studies show over 50% of Americans legalize pot. It helps chronic pain. And the kneeling, oh, 4 years ago it was with Colin Kaepernick. It was, this is the worst thing. I just saw a study recently, like 57% of Americans, and it's growing, understand kneeling and what it means to, you know, certain athletes. Now, I do think, Joy, I do think there's a question of when can I stand for the anthem? Like, like Popovich said, I'm going to stand. LeBron said, I'm not going to put Black Lives Matter on my jersey. Like, and they didn't give explanations, and I don't need them because I think they're committed and they've got equity in the cause. But the idea that the boycott crowd is always, you can't do this. It's like, most of us, we like sports. We bet it. We watch it. We have parties with it. What happens during, you know, the anthem, something on the back of a jersey? I can't not enjoy myself because of that. I'm not going to say, if you're like, I'm not going to listen to liberals, then why do you watch Netflix? Every show is written by a liberal. I mean, if you really just, I am those crazy liberals, every show on every network is built in Los Angeles and New York, the most left-leaning places in America. So my point is, sports is back. Everybody's watching it. NBA ratings starting Monday. Start watching the NBA ratings Monday because that's when the playoffs start, and the numbers will be fine. They'll be very, very good and very healthy.
Hey, there weren't sports fans that were saying that.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, if it's that easy for you to give up sports,
then you're not a sports fan.
You're not a sports fan. This is not new.
By the way,
have you heard of Muhammad Ali?
Kind of big.
It was a pretty big deal. That was decades ago.
People also think everybody thinks just like them. Like, I don't like LeBron. Yeah, but half the country loves him. Remember when Kaepernick went to the Nike deal and everybody said, Nike stock's going to tank? Nike stock did not tank.
Yeah.
Because the audience that likes Nike shoes, some of them like Kaepernick. Like, you know, if you have to go to social media and scream about boycotting, I'm just not interested.
Well, also, I mean, social media is a great tool
to gripe
in many ways. But if you're happy with something, that voice is generally going to be a little quieter than if you're outraged about something.
Yeah.
And social media offers you a platform to speak. So sometimes outrage on social media, not always.
Explodes.
It can be. And you tend to follow people you like to hear from. So it becomes a little bit of an echo chamber.
Yeah. Like miserable people follow miserable people. And retweet miserable people. And by the way, Bill Gates said this, like bad news and fake news travels faster than the truth.
Well, yeah. I mean, who wants to be bothered with the truth these days?
Like conspiracy theories are like wildfire on the internet.
Yeah, well, I mean,
facts aren't.
Because YouTube, I saw it on YouTube, so.
Yeah, it's true.
It's got to be true.
By the way, so Russell Wilson's a nice guy, loves the show. We love him. He doesn't call out teammates. He doesn't. He's had some teammates that have called him out. He never calls them out. He's a team guy. He's like Brady. He's a team guy, right? Team guy. Patrick Mahomes, not always happy, team guy. Russell Wilson, team guy. This is as close to criticizing Pete Carroll and the Seahawks as Russell Wilson goes. He said, he talked, oh, we have sound of this. Here's Russell Wilson.
Early in the games, you know, I want, you know, definitely, you know, rather than us having it be in the fourth quarter, I think to be able to, you know, make some stuff happen. I think we have a crazy stat of the lead of, you know, I think 56-0 when we have the lead, you know, by halftime and stuff like that. I think, you know, getting ahead is a key thing. You know, I definitely believe in finishing strong. I think we've won a lot of games in the fourth quarter and, you know, been do some fun things in the fourth quarter and in the games. But, you know, let's treat every quarter as the fourth, you know, and I think that's kind of my mentality always.
Seattle trailed last year 10 times at half. And that's not the way it worked. Now, thank God Russell Wilson is the best trailing quarterback in the league. Last year, trailing late at half after halftime, Russell Wilson had 19 touchdowns, one pick, and 110 passer rating. He's great trailing. Most quarterbacks are not great trailing. I mean, even Aaron Rodgers trailing, his passer rating is like in the high 80s. Russell Wilson's is 110, and Aaron Rodgers has a star back and a star wide receiver and a better O-line, and Aaron's great. But this goes to prove that the truth always eventually comes out. You just have to be patient. For years and years, it was, oh, Pete Carroll, the Legion of Doom, it's such a great operation. And I kept saying, Russell Wilson's leading this. This is not a Pete Carroll thing. I like Pete, but Pete got fired twice in the NFL and was 7-9, 7-9 in Seattle. I like Pete. I think he's a good coach. He'll get into the Hall of Fame. This is not a Pete story. It's a Russell Wilson story. Pete was going to get whacked if he didn't get Russell Wilson. Because he went 7-9, 7-9. If he had a losing record, which he would have had with Matt Flynn, you don't get a fourth year in the NFL. It's not the way it works. So the truth has eventually come out. Pro Football Focus is now hammering Seattle's personnel. Bill Barnwell, ESPN's analytic maven, hammering Seattle this week. Warren Sharp, one of the top analytic voices in football right now in the NFL, hammering Seattle. And me, America's media icon, beloved by virtually everybody, has been hammering Pete Carroll, John Snyder in Seattle. This is not his story. It's Russell Wilson saving a franchise. It's very much Deshaun Watson saving bad draft picks, saving a horrible offensive line. And by the way, players are now even supporting Russell Wilson. NFL.com top 100 list voted on by players. They had Russell ahead of Mahomes. They had Russell number two player in the league. Didn't have a lot of Seahawks beyond that. So my eyes and my take are now being confirmed that this story, the narrative was wrong. And I'm from Seattle, so I read everything. The Seattle Times, I'm watching, you know, anything I can get my hands on with Seattle. I mean, we all have our one NFL team that we're close to. This is where I'm from. My sister didn't watch sports until Russell Wilson, so it's impactful in my life. But I've always felt the narrative was wrong. Pete's a good coach, but this has always been, Seattle has always been the story of Russell Wilson. They were 7-9 and 7-9 before Russell. And Pete was nailing the drafts, and Pete's defense was good, and Pete was a legend. They couldn't have a winning record. Forget winning, couldn't win games. It's the Russell story. Now everybody's finally catching up to it. And Russell, for the first time, is coming out and saying, yeah, it'd be nice if we didn't trail at half and have kind of a middling game plan. In fact, listen to this stat. Wilson is 12th in the NFL last 4 years in passing attempts in the first three quarters. 12th. You have Russell Wilson, and you're 12th in passing attempts. Now, fourth quarter and overtime, he's top three. Because then Seattle doesn't have a choice. He has to save them because they're trailing. So the truth eventually comes out. There we go. I'm on Bill Maher tonight, by the way. Hope you like it. Maybe you won't. I don't know. It's a controversial show. Very, very controversial. Bill's a fan of the show, by the way. It's nice. Well, we're fans of his show. I watch it.
So he watches the show?
Yeah. So I taped it last night.
Right.
Yeah, I taped the interview last night. So it's already done.
But you don't want to give any teasers, though.
Well, I could tell he watched the show because he said a couple things, and you can tell. But I like that he watches the show. The only time a famous person said they had watched my show and I didn't like it was when Condoleezza Rice, who's amazing. Yeah. She, I interviewed her, and she goes, "Oh, I listen to The Herd every day." And I said, "You're running the country. Don't do that. What are you doing?"
Well, it's because they're running the country doesn't mean they don't have time for leisure, right? The president golfs like every other day.
You cannot watch my show every morning if you're running the country.
Well, I mean, not all 3 hours.
Condoleezza's like, she was saying a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, you have all my takes. And I love Condoleezza Rice, but I said,
you rotate your takes throughout the day.
I said, Condoleezza, Mrs. Rice, watch the country. Is in trouble.
I have a hard time believing that anyone watches all 3 hours of our show that has
stuff
to do.
I mean, seriously.
Right.
I put my feet up.
Please watch all 3 hours of our show. But right. I think she probably meant like in the car.
Jordan Palmer's coming up. Plus, everybody's hammering the Big Ten's commissioner this morning. Just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath before you hammer the Big Ten commissioner. Boy, I was on the interweb yesterday, and you're all just taking body blows for Kevin Warren. He may be the smart guy before the end of this. We'll figure that out coming up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight on FS1, don't miss a huge doubleheader. The Rays and the Jays get things started at 6:30. Then at 9:30, it's a star-studded showdown in L.A. as Cody Bellinger and the Dodgers battle Mike Trout and the Angels.
I'll be watching
all the action tonight on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
I'm watching Dodgers-Angels tonight. We were just talking about this during the break. I've never boycotted anything.
I'm positive that I've boycotted things in my life.
Did you go public?
I can't think of any of it because I just stopped doing it.
You know, I've stopped going to a restaurant who I thought their food deteriorated or their service deteriorated.
I boycott people all the time.
Yeah, but you don't announce it. What is this need to go to Twitter and announce I'm boycotting sports?
But, I mean, because
needy people? You're needy?
Because there's this idea that, like, if you don't post it or something, it's not real. It's like an affirmation. And you want to be applauded by people that you're doing
basically people who go to Twitter to talk boycott are insecure and needy. They need to be validated. You and I boycott stuff. We've stopped going to restaurants. We bailed on friends. We don't go to Twitter and announce
it. Yeah, I've stopped using different services and going to different companies because I didn't like their values, but I just stopped doing it. Like, just, okay, I'm just not going to do that anymore.
Yeah. That's how I am. I stop stuff.
Fairness, it wasn't changing my life to not go there, right? Like, it was just something I wanted to do out of principle.
But you don't
announce
support
what they were doing. Right. But, like, sports is a part of my life from the time I was born into this world. So that's not, like, and again, this isn't new. This is not new. This is not new.
I just think people that have to go to social media to proclaim their feelings are insecure. At the end, you need to know what I think. Not really. I cancel stuff every day. Every day I'm like, I'm done with that product. I'm for that product. I mean, we all do that. Razors. I've moved off razors into razors.
My thing is, I just don't believe that you are a sports fan to begin with. Sports is too fundamental a part of my life. And I'm too aware of the history of sports to then all of a sudden just stop watching sports.
And I'm also,
like, when people were, was just rampant cheating in baseball, you didn't feel like that was the point that you were going to, like, stop watching sports. Like, this is the juncture that you've decided to split from sports. Like, okay. Like, there's a lot of examples.
I'm also not offended by much. I mean, I've never once ever in my life run to social media and said, I'm offended.
I'm offended by things.
You are?
I'm not outraged by a lot of things.
I'm not outraged by almost anything. If you're mean to animals or children, that pisses me off.
There's a lot of things that get me upset. But in the end, for me, it's more important to do actual work to change something than to just talk about it. I don't believe in that. I believe you should do something. Like, there's got to be more action behind your words. I'm not into all that talking stuff. It's cute, but you do something.
Yeah. I don't need proclamations on stuff. If I'm over you, I just don't take your call.
I mean, just walk that walk.
That's right. Walk that walk. Jordan Palmer's joining me. You know who Jordan Palmer is. Quarterback coach, Quarterback Summit. He's done an amazing thing since COVID has struck. Jordan has been building a digital platform for all these quarterbacks so they can take their careers into their hands. And he is joining us now, Jordan Palmer, via the Coward Global Satellite Network. First of all, your lighting is fantastic. You really
appreciate that. Really have
good lighting. So, you know what? I was saying this. Tua said yesterday, he goes, man, Ryan Fitzpatrick's unbelievable. and I said, this is what Mahomes got with Alex Smith. We don't value, you know, we look at guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick, we're like, we're done with him. I would make an argument that first year in the league, what an advantage to have Josh McCown, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You take me to the Tua Ryan Fitzpatrick thing, and you know Tua, what will it mean?
Well, I know Tua. I also played with Ryan Fitzpatrick early in his career in Cincinnati, and it's just the value just doesn't show up on your fantasy stats. It doesn't show up on Schefter's tweets. It's all behind closed doors, but it is prevalent. And as good as some of the coaching is in the NFL at the quarterback position and coordinators, if you lined up 100 quarterbacks and you ask them, who do you learn the most football from? The majority of these guys would name a veteran player before they would name a coach.
Wow.
So when you have a Ryan Fitzpatrick, you have gold. You have better than a great quarterback coach, better than a good right tackle. It's somebody who can help in every phase of the game.
You know, you've worked with Josh Allen, Kyle Allen, Sam Darnold, Jarrett Stidham, Joe Burrow. Our concern about Joe Burrow is twofold. One, no preseason. That's no good. Secondly, I think he's going to be a little overwhelmed by Steelers front, Ravens front, Browns front. And I've said this with Cam. I mean, Cam's sharing snaps in New England. Let's temper our criticism and expectations. What are realistic Jordan Palmer expectations considering the division? No OTAs, no preseason. What is realistic with Joe Burrow? What will you see and you think, okay, that's encouraging?
Well, we have kind of a similar comp here on this. When I ended my time with the Bengals in 2011, Andy Dalton was an incoming rookie. He was a second-round pick. They had no OTAs. We had a lockout, and the whole team had to learn a new offense. That was Jay Gruden's first year coordinating for the Bengals. Andy Dalton led that team to the playoffs and went to a Pro Bowl, and I don't think anybody would disagree when I said that Joe Burrow is a lot further along than Andy entering the league than Andy Dalton was. The difference is Andy got to work with his teammates. We held workouts as teammates, but he wasn't allowed to talk to his coaches. Joe Burrow was not really allowed to work out with his teammates because of COVID, but on Zoom, installations, he was allowed to work with his coaches and talk to his coaches. I think advantage goes to Joe Burrow. So he's further along, and I think he had a better offseason than Andy had 9 years ago. So my expectations for Joe Burrow is that he has a really high completion percentage. I don't know how many games they're going to win because I don't know how good this team is, but I see him finding completions, not turning it over a lot, and actually, despite no preseason, being as confident as you can imagine a rookie being starting week one.
I said this yesterday about Justin Fields. He had 41 TDs, 3 picks. He doesn't need to beat Purdue to end up getting to be a top 5 pick. He's a 6'3", 225, 10 rushing touchdowns, lively arm. He looks like 2020 NFL football. If I got a pick and Trevor Lawrence is off the board, I'm going to take him. I don't think he needs to play at Ohio State. I worry about injuries. I worry about Buckeye players going to the NFL opting out so he doesn't have the good players around him. I worry about God playing January, February in Columbus, Ohio. It's lousy weather. And I also think that January, February, March is when these young quarterbacks go to camps like yours and get this incredibly instrumental growth and refinement before they, get drafted. What would you advise Justin Fields as a college quarterback who's already a top 10 pick, regardless of if he plays for the Buckeyes this year? If he asked your opinion, what would you say?
Well, there's three guys in here, and Justin Fields is one of them, Trevor's another, and there's a guy that's going to be really talked about, Colin. We're going to be talking about him a ton. That's Trey Lance out of North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Another guy who I think is, if he's done right now, he's a first-round pick. Those three guys really – Trey and Justin are only coming off 1 year of really playing. And I know Justin was at Georgia and all that, but really 1 year of being the guy. And it went exceptionally well for both of them. For Justin and Trey, if they have to play two more potential football seasons with a long off season just to get drafted where they're already projected to go right now, then I think they should bail. They should start getting ready, and they should take advantage of being able to sit and watch this NFL season. This isn't about, I wouldn't do draft training in January, February, March. I'd start in 3 weeks and really start with the season. Take advantage of each week going through the film prep. Monday, last 5 games. Tuesday, base pressures. Wednesday, sub pressures. Thursday, third down. Friday, red zone. All the stuff that NFL quarterbacks do from a film study each week, I'd be doing that. From a throwing standpoint, I wouldn't be spending a lot of time working on my 40-yard dash right now. I'd work on overspeed. I'd really work on tuning in mechanics in a way that incoming rookie quarterbacks have never had this much time to do. So while it costs them a year of playing, and I think everybody benefits from playing, it does not mean that they cannot develop over the next 7 months.
Yeah. You know, you've worked with Darnold and Josh Allen. Now, Josh Allen right now has, in my opinion, a much better defense. I think Buffalo's got great structure. Sam Darnold, I mean, Mosley's opted out, Jamal gone. There's a lot of noise in that organization that worries me. Do you worry about – when should I start worrying about a Sam Darnold or a young quarterback? Because, listen, we know it's sometimes bumpy. We know it may take a year to start. But I'm getting to the point with Sam Darnold that I love him. But I think to myself, how much chaos can he overcome? Is there a point where we should be worried that Darnold just can't overcome a lot of the nonsense he's dealing with around him?
Well, I would still say it's early. You know, this is heading into his third year. And when you get drafted number three overall, when you get drafted high, most of the time, this isn't some insider expert, but most of the time when you get drafted high, you're going to an organization that's rebuilding. Sometimes that means they have a new coach. Sometimes that means they have a new GM. Sometimes that means they have a complete overhaul. And I don't know, the Niners picked second overall 3 years ago. Sometimes they're just picking high for good luck. In this case, they've got a lot of new. They've got a second-year GM, second-year head coach, big pieces like Le'Veon Bell coming into year two, and then some guys' key departures, whether that's like Mosley with the opt-out or Jamal Lewis getting traded. This is definitely a rebuild, but this is where these guys earn these big second contracts. I always tell these guys, and I've told this to Sam, you know, you don't get paid a big second contract because the touchdowns you throw in the games you win. You do it because of all the stuff you go through, the seeing ghosts, the mono getting roasted in the media, all the world caving in on them, the losses, and then rising above that, having a big year three, being the reason that the storm is weathered, and then throwing touchdown passes and winning games. So Sam right now, I don't look at it like he's in trouble. I look at it like he's earning it, and he is really shaping himself into how he's going to be a franchise veteran quarterback for the next 15 years. This is where you earn it.
Yeah. Your lighting, isn't his lighting exceptional, Joy? Look at him. He is the best-looking guy.
Are you getting lost in my eyes, Colin?
So you have the Quarterback Summit digital platform, so you can't be around all these guys. So you created something, so tell me what this is.
Well, really simply, it's just catching up with 2020. Every kid in school just learned how to Zoom and learned how to learn online from their teachers and from a lot of the sports. And so for me, I took everything that was in my head and all the experience that I have, and I created a bunch of content. So there's a lot of content in the QB Summit digital platform. So physically, mentally, emotionally, drills, things to think about in 2 minute situations, every aspect of the game. Most of these high school kids, they're not taught who's blocking who up front. You know, what is a 5-man protection? So I've got content on that. But also every week I do Zoom meetings with the group, with the members. And so it's very current what's happening right now. And there's an issue right now with recruiting. Kids aren't really sure what they can do to get recruited. Schools aren't flying around and recruiting. And so we just we use this platform to really connect with the guys on a weekly basis. And really the ones who want it and really want to make it, now there's really no excuse, because I've got every drill I've ever done with any of your favorite quarterbacks are now available to these young guys as well.
Well, you do a great service for all these young kids. Jordan Palmer, quarterback coach, Quarterback Summer, helps quarterbacks reach their potential, ultimately high school to college to pro. Good talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks, Joy.
You bet it. Guys, mdriveformen.com, mdriveformen.com. Want to get leaner, a little tired, putting on some weight, mdriveformen.com. You know, another thing here that's interesting, a football topic. So, Big Ten canceled football. Pac-12 did too, but the Big Ten's a bigger conference. Right in the middle of the country, Ohio State and Michigan. I'm a West Coast guy, but Big Ten's bigger than the Pac-12. Everybody's crushing Kevin Warren. Just be careful. There was a commissioner named Adam Silver on March 11th who canceled the NBA. Do you remember Mark Cuban's reaction to that? We were all shocked. It's Rudy Gobert. It's one player. Adam Silver was right. I'm not saying, I do think you can play football through COVID. You're going to have multiple players test positive. B, because they're not going to get it at the facility. That's not where they're going to get it. They're going to get it from students on campus. They're going to get it at home. You know, you're part of a community, a collective when you're in college. But, you know, if the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC call it off in a month, we have a death, something unravels. I don't predict a death, but if it starts unraveling, then the Big Ten guy was ahead of everybody. Adam Silver got a lot of crap. He's overreacting. I mean, it's one player, and now we look, and it's like, this is why reading matters. He was in New York City. He was seeing what was happening on the ground in New York City. He was reading about it in various periodicals and newspapers, and Adam Silver had all his connections. Remember, it struck New York City first, and he's in New York City, and he's watching the masks, and he's watching the deaths, and he's like, we are out on this. So, you know, I don't know Kevin Warren, but I will say this. The only thing that worried me is Mark Emmert had the strangest quote yesterday, because I've said college football needs a CEO or a president. It's got to have a unified voice. Mark Emmert had a bite yesterday, and it's like he was listening to our show. He said, people love the concept of a czar, but they hate czars. Authoritarianism is really a fun concept. It just sucks when people have to live under it. I'm not advocating for Vladimir Putin. I'm just asking for leadership. That's like saying all presidents in the U.S. are authoritarians. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Nick Saban is kind of a czar at Alabama, works well. Mike Krzyzewski's kind of a friendly czar at Duke, works well. Belichick's sort of a czar, it works. It's not that you can't have multiple voices, but when you got one conference worried about this, another conference worried about that, one playing 9 conference games, one playing 8 conference games, some listening to this medical advice, some listening to that medical advice, leadership matters. It's why the UFC surpassed boxing, because they had Dana White. They had a leader, and boxing just had promoters out for themselves. Nobody said they want Putin. The crazy thing here is it's just 5 different Power 5 conferences all going in different directions. I like opinions from lots of people, but I want somebody to go, this is what we're doing. And Emmert yesterday said, I have no control over any of this stuff. I can't. It's a $2 billion business. How do you not have control of it? That'd be like Fox being like, you know, we spend a zillion dollars a year for the NFL, but we have no control over the broadcasts. We fight every day with the NFL. We're calling them and saying we want to do this, 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 not that, that, that. You fight for it. You have a centralized voice in Roger Goodell. We have a centralized voice at Fox, although both of them have a bunch of vice presidents and voices and opinions and information. But those centralized voices meet, discuss, and solve problems. College football can't solve problems because there's no unified centralized voice. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Authoritarianism is a really fun concept. It's a really wild sentence. Like, whoever was like, I would love to live in an authoritarian society.
Yeah, it's not a great concept.
No one has ever said it's a fun concept.
Not good at all.
Nor is that the idea that we're proposing.
And we're not, we said CEO. We're not czar people here on the show.
Yes. I'm not a huge czar person.
I don't even like the way it's spelled. C into a Z has always confused me.
So LeBron has spent 17 years in the NBA and just added another first to his incredible career. The Lakers regular season ended yesterday, and LeBron finished the year leading the league in assists for the first time with 10.2 per game. This is also the first time he's finished the regular season averaging double-digit assists. His career high was 9.1 in the 2017-18 season with the Cavs. So even this far along in his career, he is still reaching new milestones.
Cool.
I think it's cool. It's, again, I'm not as down on the Lakers as I think everybody else is. I think that the Lakers are kind of trying to figure out if Kuzma is really going to be able to step
I was
up
told
as the third guy.
Told this morning via text. They are scared about Portland. They know it's a problem. They know they have matchup problems with the Blazers. Frank Vogel knows it. The staff knows it.
I'm kind of on Nick Wright's side on this. I love Portland.
Right.
They're
right.
Great team. Damian Lillard has been playing MVP level basketball. He's incredible to watch. I just don't know what they have for LeBron James. So we've got a little beef in the NFL, Colin. A little fun, little beef going on. Jamal Adams is no longer a member of the Jets defense following the trade to the Seahawks.
I saw this.
And Jets defensive coordinator Greg Williams took a shot at Seattle when discussing how his team will move on without the star safety.
Jamal may get bored there because they don't use their safety type things and all the different complexities of maybe this, not showing what they're doing as much as we do.
Well, Pete Carroll was asked about Williams' comments, and he had some fun with his response. You don't have it? Okay. Well, he said, let's just pass it back. We don't make as many mistakes as he does. Let's let him have a chance to come back. We might as well do something coast to coast. That will be fun. We're so simple here and basic. We probably won't get to any of that stuff. That might be a good idea, though. He also kind of stoked the fire, saying, come on, Greg, fire back. Let's have some fun with this. So he's kind of joking, but also
Greg Williams talks a lot. Too much for my taste. Greg Williams is a talk guy. Pete knows what he's doing on defense. I may think Pete is antiquated on offense. I don't love what he does on offensive lines. But defensively, Pete's, he has a history of succeeding.
I mean, that was their identity in Seattle for several years.
USC was a lot of Reggie Bush talk, but the key with USC was they were aggressive and they would handcuff you offensively.
Well, we'll get to see or maybe hear a little more of this in week 14 when the Jets play the Seahawks in Seattle. But yeah, fun little beat to get the season started.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Lamar Herd is the Blazers, Portland Blazers TV analyst. Some thoughts, his thoughts on what we're watching with Portland and their matchup with the Lakers that's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Lamar Herd is a Blazers television analyst, starting point guard at Oregon State from 2002 to 2006. I have a soft spot for the Blazers, having worked in Portland for years, and he is now joining us live to talk about a team that now faces Memphis for the right to face potentially the Lakers. So, Lamar, let's start with this. Dame is in the Pacific Northwest. We see him over the last 2 weeks in the bubble. You're there every night. Is this mostly what you get every night, or has he been elevated and special in this mini bubble?
We get a form of this pretty much every night, but without question, Colin, this season for Dame has been the best of his career. We see all the logo shots. The name Logo Lillard started floating around last season in the All-Star game. Dame had those big threes late in the game. It was his first All-Star game where he was a part of the closing lineup.
Yeah.
And so that's where nationally the logo shots really picked up steam. But we get a chance to see it in training camp, in practices, behind closed doors. He can pull up from half court. He's able to tap into levels of play that a lot of players can. So to answer your question, we get a certain version of this throughout the year, but it is definitely picked up this season to a level that we have yet to see.
Are you surprised, or I should say, how surprised are you by Carmelo Anthony's impact?
Yeah. I'm not very surprised from this standpoint. So it's fair to question when Carmelo got back into the league how things would look, because we all heard tons of stories. And without being a part of the organizations he was a part of, you just really didn't know what the situation was. And so when he joined, I felt optimistic about it, because going back to who you just asked me about, Damian Lillard, I feel that Damian Lillard, and I've said this multiple times, Colin, and I get backlash from people that support other teams when I say this at times, but it's something that I know will continue to reveal itself as time goes on. I believe Damian Lillard is the best leader in sports, and I believe that any locker room Damian Lillard is a part of will be a highly functioning locker room. Terry Stotts and his coaching staff, I believe one of the best staffs in basketball. And the type of environment that they facilitate helps anybody. So now you're talking about a Hall of Famer in Carmelo, who has the respect of all his peers. I was optimistic that everything would work out. Did I know that Carmelo would be somebody who would join the Blazers roster early this season and be someone that they would rely upon for wins? I don't know that I saw that coming necessarily, because the Blazers rely on their backcourt. They rely on their center position, Yusuf Nurkic. But as you know, Nurk's been out for a long part of the season. So when Carmelo joined the team, he was someone that they started to run offense through. The games would slow down at times in a half-court set because they'd post Melo up or go pick and pop. And he has made game winners. He's made big clinching shots in a fourth quarter. He has been an exceptional teammate all across the board. Everything you hear about him and his experience here in Portland is all positive.
They got to get through Memphis to get. I can imagine Memphis is like tired of hearing how the Blazers are going to play the Lakers. Are you worried that they play Memphis one, they'll be exhausted after the weekend, the Lakers are well rested? What do we know about the Blazers-Memphis matchup? Are you confident for Portland?
I'm confident, but there is reason for a little concern, just from the standpoint of, yeah, they've been playing hard to get to this point. And I'd say more so, Memphis is one of those teams, because of how they play, particularly on the offensive end, they're one of the tougher teams for the Blazers to defend, because they can go five out, spread the floor, and just drive you and force you to have to defend over and over again. And because the Blazers are without their best perimeter defender in Trevor Ariza in Orlando, it is going to be a challenge. The main thing, Colin, that I'll be looking forward to is, how does Ja Morant shoot the basketball? Because in the first matchup between these two in the regular season down in Memphis, the Blazers were playing their traditional pick and roll defense, which is they like to get the guard over the top. They drop the big. They try to force a contested two in the mid-range. Well, Ja Morant was picking that apart. And then in the second half, the Blazers started to jam that screen, go underneath it, invite the three-point shot, and Ja Morant went 0-5 from the three-point line, and he really struggled. And then in the first game in the Orlando seeding here, when the Blazers played Memphis, they found some relative success against Morant in the first half. He got loose in the second half, but he wasn't shooting the basketball the way that, if he does shoot the basketball well and knock down shots, causes a lot of problems, because it ignites their offense and it can make things really difficult. So I think, Colin, if they can kind of hold Ja, keep him under control, not let him really get loose, I feel a lot better about the Blazers' chances in that game.
Okay, Blazers-Lakers, your thoughts on the matchup. About a minute and a half left. What worries you about that?
The thing that used to worry me about that was the size. So the first two matchups between these two in the regular season were two games in Portland, and the Lakers overwhelmed the Blazers with their size. Yeah. Their front line was just too much. And it's been too much for a lot of the league. That's why they're first place in the West.
Yeah.
However, in the third matchup between these two, the Blazers had Winyon Gabriel, a youngster out of Kentucky, and then also Trevor Ariza. So that size, when he went to L.A., and then Damian Lillard playing like a madman, hung 48 points on their heads in L.A., that's the game the Blazers won. So, again, no Trevor Ariza in that matchup. However, you have Yusuf Nurkic back. You got Zach Collins. So you have that size to combat it. I think it'd be a great matchup if the Blazers can get there.
Yeah. Tell you what, Portland, by the time they get to the Lakers, if they get through Memphis, man, they have played close games, long games, yeah, tight games, intense games. That first game against the Lakers, if Portland gets there, they could be a little bit of a shot fighter. Okay, Lamar Hurd, Blazer voice, former Oregon State Beaver. It's great having you on the show. I've heard you, now I see you, and I appreciate you being on.
Thanks for having me, Colin.
All right, Lamar Hurd. Blazers have had some great announcers during the year. So we'll see. It's just interesting. Portland's been one of those teams, Joy. Every game feels like a playoff game. And the Lakers,
well, I mean,
about
it was for them, because they're trying to get to the play-in series.
So the Blazers, Lakers checked out about four games ago. They played really hard against the Clippers, and they played hard the next game after that. I mean, it was Denver?
I mean, you could see the fall off and the intensity once they locked up the number one seed.
Yeah, you can see it from Milwaukee, the Clippers, the Lakers. The last three games, They just don't care. So Portland is totally in playoff mode virtually every game in the bubble. I mean, every game in the bubble. So it's like, you know, Portland's like Phoenix. Like, they just had to win every night out.
Right.
So it'll be very interesting if they go this weekend to Memphis, and they have to beat Memphis just once. They got to beat Memphis once. Okay, Memphis has to beat them twice. So Portland gets a win, but they're not going to get
It's not going to be easy.
Now, when do they play Memphis? Tomorrow? Okay, so they get one day off. They play Memphis Saturday. Then they get a day off. Then they play the Lakers. Okay, Tuesday. So that's another day off. That's a break. I mean, it means something. Portland is These are wild games for Portland.
I mean, that game last night was incredibly intense.
We're in August. Sports world's heating up. So are my do-it-yourself projects with Lowe's. Check out Lowe's. Go to hashtag Lowe's. Show me your do-it-yourself products or Lowe's.com. I just finished up a little bar cart. Check it out on Twitter. It's there. Hour 3 next.